Welcome back to Witch Church. It's your host, Mal. I'm a professional astrologer, tarot reader and teacher, and intuitive healer. And you're about to listen to the recording of Witch Church Live, a sermon that I give to my Instagram community every week. Feel free to catch the live show every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central on IG Live, or listen to the recording right here on the podcast. This is a non-denominational weekly service for witches, astrology nerds, and anyone else who feels like they are being called to walk the spiritual path. At Witch Church Live, we talk all about the weekly astrological and tarot forecast, and really anything else that is channeled through me about the week ahead. Oh, and you'll probably hear about my random life updates and some rambly life stories mixed in as well. I hope that's okay. If this podcast brings some kind of value or joy to your life, be sure to leave me a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And feel free to send this podcast to a friend if you feel like they could benefit from listening. If you feel called, you can also support the production of this podcast and my other creations on Patreon for as little as $5 a month and get access to my secret YouTube channel with a bunch of extra astrology and tarot content. And if you would like me to hold space for you on your spiritual path, you can book an astrology session, tarot reading, or distance Reiki healing on my site, MalloryHasty.com. I would be honored to be your guide in some way. All of the links to my site and my social media are in the show notes. Have a magical week, my friends, and thank you so much for listening. How are we feeling with that Virgo new moon? Any insights, any feelings, emotions? I kind of felt like little minions of anxiety were starting to dig inside my brain. That's how I would describe the new moon, which kind of makes sense because if you think about it, it was a new moon in Virgo squaring Mars in Gemini. And both Virgo and Gemini are ruled by Mercury. So not only was there a square in this new moon, but there was also the rulership of Mercury, who is in their shadow right now, right? So for me, it was a little bit of a psychologically challenging new moon. But I also think the square to Mars oftentimes presents us with some good moving forward energy or some good kind of warrior energy that can help us through a challenge. But to be honest, overall, that, yeah, I don't know about that new moon, my friends. I don't know how you guys felt, but it felt a little spicy, maybe not so much in a good way. And this whole week, I think, has been quite a palpable shift with Mars moving into Gemini. It was funny because I did have a client, and she did give me permission to share this. I think it was actually last weekend. It was like the first day of Mars in Gemini. I had a client come in who is a 29 degrees Aries rising ruled by Mars in Gemini. And I was like, what the? That is so just, I don't know. Like, wasn't that so serendipitous that I got to like really talk with not only someone with Mars in Gemini, but someone who has their chart ruler as Mars in Gemini. And that client reflected a lot back to me about, you know, what this transit really is. So granted, Yeah. The shift into Mars' new sign, new home for the next 6 months, I felt it. I was surprised how much I felt it. And Alex, you said I spent the whole day putting together furniture, but overheard 3 different dogfights in the apartment complex. Okay, that makes sense. Third house, new moon, right? Yeah, there was just something a little bit overstimulating, I think, about the new moon in Virgo. But like I said, you know, the new moon, it inspires the tone of the next 30 days and of the next moon cycle, right? Or 28, 29 days. And the fact that we do have that square to Mars kind of imprinted in this new lunar cycle, it makes me think like, okay, how is Mars in Gemini in the next lunar cycle going to help us overcome our current challenges, our obstacles, our difficulties? What parts of Mars in Gemini are we going to be called to embrace? And also, what challenges can we look out for with Mars in Gemini? For me, I don't know if it's just Cancer rising. I'm a Cancer rising, so the Mars in Gemini is going to be in my 12th house, but man, the increase in anxiety the past week it didn't shock me, but it felt like, wow, like I can feel this. But here's what I was thinking. Really simple things that we can do in general to cope, I think, with Mars in Gemini. I know this is 6 months. We're talking 6 months of getting to know this transit in a deeper way. But 2 really simple things with Mars in Gemini. Reading and writing. And I know that doesn't sound very deep or profound. But I think there's a little bit of a sort of, what's that saying, like, if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing that I'm picking up on with Mars in Gemini. There's a little bit of a, like, if our minds are going to be on high alert, you know, Mars in a Mercury ruled sign, if our anxieties or our stresses or thought cycles are more likely to potentially spiral out of control, if words are weapons, you know, when Mars is in Gemini, then why not use that to our advantage? If we can't beat them, join them. And I've been finding a lot of comfort in just reading lately and using that as a sort of mind distraction. Again, nothing entirely profound here, but I feel like it's a good time to open up that book that you've been wanting to read. I went to the library, which is a very Mars and Gemini thing. Has anybody ever read this? It's called Wild by Cheryl Strayed. I've definitely seen the cover before, and I didn't know what this book was about, and I heard Cheryl Strayed do an interview on the Glennon Doyle podcast, the We're Doing Hard Things podcast. So I picked up her book. It's really good so far. I'm very much into memoirs lately. And the other thing that we can do with Mars in Gemini to kind of maybe add some salve in the mix, you know, add some medicine to this transit, we can actually choose a sort of intellectual or analytical subject to pursue. Again, what have you been wanting to learn? If there's like one of those language apps that you've been, you know, meaning to finally sit down and learn Spanish? Like, have you wanted to study astrology? Have you wanted to learn more about your inner child? Shameless plug, my inner child and the tarot course is for sale on my website. But I'm half kidding. But you know what I mean, my friends. This time is a good time to pursue those intellectual matters that we've been wanting to for a while. You know, how else are we going to fully feel into Mars and Gemini if we don't allow our minds to grow, observe, learn something new, or even just shift perspectives, okay? So one other thing that I wanted to learn, and this is kind of funny, because I've been wanting to learn a little bit more about horary astrology, because if you don't know, horary astrology is like, it's basically a type of astrology that helps you answer questions. So it can be helpful if you have like a direct question, like, where did I lose my keys? Or will I get this job? Horary, I mean, can basically cast a chart for your question, and through the chart, the question can be answered in one way or another. Now, it's a really rules-based, complex thing to learn, and there's many different schools of thoughts to learning this subject. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to dive in. So, funny enough, I bought this book, The Martial Art of Horary Astrology by Lee Lehman. And I like martial arts because it's Mars and Gemini. So again, we're keeping our minds busy, because something that I've been noticing about Mars and Gemini is I'm having more moments where I walk into a room and I'm like, wait, why am I here? Like, why? What was I gonna do? You know, or I'm having more moments of just like kind of pausing and getting sucked in to like an anxiety spiral or certain thoughts, or even getting sucked into false narratives like, oh, I feel stuck, or I feel lost, or I don't know how to move forward. And I think it's important, especially with a mutable sign like Gemini, we want to keep the wheels turning. We want to keep our minds and our thoughts kind of mutable and fluid. And I think focusing on that reading, writing, those analytical pursuits, even if it's just daily journaling, that can be really helpful. At least it is for me. I mean, take this with a grain of salt. I mean, this could be audiobooks, this could be listening to podcasts, but give yourself some kind of focus. Kind of quote unquote, go back to school, you know, with this transit, and try to focus your energy on something that feels worthwhile, and even something that you've been procrastinating for a while. Because out of all the planets, Mars can help us face procrastination in a really big way, right? Quinn, you said, oh my gosh, yes, I feel like my ADHD is way out of control. I'm anxious about everything. Same. Yeah, and I've been super, I feel the cortisol pumping through my veins. I have been a little overstimulated, and by a little, I mean a lot. There's just been certain things that have been worrying me. There's been things that feel really out of my control. And that might also be a Mars and Gemini symptom. Because if you think about it, and Taylor and I did talk about this on the recent Witch Church Mars and Gemini episode, so go listen to that forecast if you haven't. But I think there's something very close up about Gemini, because it's a mercurial sign. Mercury pays attention to the details. Mercury knows how many marbles are in the bag, or whatever. I mean, you know what I mean. Mercury knows numbers, letters, times, costs. You know, it's a planet that is very good with managing the little details, right? So when Mars is there, we can get a little bit obsessive about the details. We can get a little bit zoomed in. We can get a little bit too microscopic with how we are fixating on certain problems or certain challenges. For instance, my roommate, Search, has not been going very well lately. I'm basically have decided that I'm gonna move to the city this fall, hopefully, or at least in the next few months. And I'm kind of stalking the roommate, the Chicago roommate pages. I've been, putting out feelers to different people in Chicago. And it's such a daunting task. It's such a daunting search. And it's a search that is enveloped in a lot of details. Because in order to be a good match with someone, your details have to match up, right? Like, you know, the level of cleanliness that both of you are looking for, the budget that you both have, the areas that you want to live in. And there's even more than that, right? Like even personality, right? And that's something that can't necessarily be put on paper. Like, I met with a few different roommate candidates in the past week, and it was like the feeling of it's right on paper, but it's not right. It's not right in the energy. And it's so easy to like obsess over these small things that feel so big, right? Because there's fear that underlies small details a lot of the times. When I find that I'm really obsessed about the small details, I'm actually really scared of something much bigger, you know? So I guess like me being obsessed with, you know, oh gosh, like when am I gonna find a roommate? When is it gonna happen? Blah, 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 blah. All of that kind of stuff. You know, it's linked to a much bigger fear about, I guess, not necessarily moving to the city, but it's something about like my capabilities as a entrepreneur. Like, this is a really big thing for me to do, to say like, okay, you know, I can, you know, fully do this with my, you know, business, you know, strapped to my back. And there's a lot of self-trust and a lot of self-belief that sometimes I don't think I have, you know, and some days I do, some days I don't. But there's just, there's a much bigger thing behind our obsession with the details, right? And I think that is kind of the crux of Mars in Gemini. We either allow the details to bring us down and rope us into anxiety stories, or we do the thing where it's like, all right, if I can't beat them, I'll join them. And I'm going to focus this detail-oriented energy on something that feels productive. Again, not productive in like a capitalistic way, but productive in the sense of, okay, this is something that I've been wanting to do, or this is something that I've been needing to work on, right? So that's something that I have been tapping into lately, although easier said than done, right? Also, the card I've been pulling a lot, which is funny, has been the Wheel of Fortune. Okay. Which is interesting because the Wheel of Fortune, in a lot of ways, is one of the more zoomed out perspectives of the tarot. Because the Wheel of Fortune is really a story about things like spirit timing, divine timing, even fate. these subjects kind of exist within the Wheel of Fortune. So it's a card that we sometimes have trouble grasping because it hints at these really large, big, universal themes, right? And when we get the Wheel of Fortune, especially when you're in the state I'm in, which is like, I have so much anxiety about the details. I have a lot of anxiety over when and how things are going to actually happen and come together. And even if things do come together, then I have another layer of anxiety over what happens after whatever comes together, you know? The Wheel of Fortune is the message of trust. You know, trusting in the unseen, trusting in the unknown, and trusting that the perfect timing is, like, inevitable, I guess. Like, there's some kind of inevitability about the Wheel of Fortune. There's something there about, like, the timing will happen when it happens, which is something astrology teaches us too, I think. Which is funny because I sometimes think the Wheel of Fortune looks like a natal chart. Like, we can't actually rush the timing of fate. We can't rush the timing of something that is just going to happen, that we're going to run into. It's not to say we don't have free will, but it is to say that there's something about the human experience that oftentimes just leads us back to the reality that we can't control everything, right? We really don't have control over as much as we think we do, you know? And also, we don't have control over time as much as we think we do on a daily basis. Like, I perceived that I have control over which church today, because I can say, okay, I'm going to start at 10 a.m., but what even really is 10 a.m., you know? And can I control how the timing goes of the rest of my day? Not really. I mean, it's very limited how much of timing we actually have control over. But I don't know about you guys, when I'm feeling really anxious, I have a lot of trouble with trusting in timing, in the universal flow of everything, you know. I have trouble kind of, I guess, navigating like a sense of faith or optimism, which I think might be linked to the idea of trust. And I so easily can default into like the pessimistic worst case scenario, and my nervous system really, really believes it, you know? Like, my nervous system is believing the worst case scenario, and that can be really destabilizing. So what do we do? Because sometimes when the message is just trust, it's a little bit like when you're having a bad day and someone says, like, well, tomorrow's a new day, you know? Like, trust can be a little bit love and light and a little bit surface level if we are just thinking about it as, like, I don't know, just like a fluffy state of mind, right? But I think there's something deeper to trusting that the Wheel of Fortune may kind of be speaking to. Like, there's something about trust that the Wheel of Fortune is trying to teach us. And maybe take a moment and just think of, like, a time in your life where you trusted the least in the universe. A time in your life where you were just, like, yeah, really mistrusting in the universe. And how were you feeling during that moment? Like, was there pessimism? you know, were you feeling like you were losing hope that things weren't going to turn around? Were you feeling unsafe? Were you feeling all of the above? You know, think of that state of mistrust and then kind of think about what happened next. Inevitably, something had to have shifted, right? Like, sometimes I look back on my biggest moments of mistrust, and then soon thereafter, something shifts where I'm able to, like, just be released into the next portal, or the next layer, or the next chapter. You know, it's usually something that I didn't expect, or it's something that I wasn't quite, you know, I didn't quite see it coming, or it was a solution that didn't really cross my mind, right? Like, we stumble upon evidence that we can trust in the universe, I think, a lot. And I think in all of our histories of periods of mistrust, we'll all likely find a moment where things did really work out, right? And that's what I'm kind of trying to hold on to at this moment, you know, even though I say it and part of my nervous system doesn't believe it, I think my higher self definitely believes it. And that can be like an annoying feeling, right? Like, you're like, oh God, like, my nervous system, like, just cannot feel safe in this moment of transition. Or my nervous system is just having so much trouble in this moment of growth, really. I think that's really what it is. And yet, there's this higher sense self that, like, it is the safest thing to trust. You know, like, that is maybe even one of the default states that our higher self can kind of teach us about. How safe it is to trust in your path, where you're going, all the things that they say, like, you're in the right spot at the right time, or, you know, I'm trying to think of these cliches that they say about, like, I don't know, you're picking up what I'm putting down. There's just something here about what the higher self knows versus what anxiety doesn't know. And I think that's why the Wheel of Fortune can be medicine for this moment. The Wheel of Fortune is especially medicine for such heavy Gemini, Mars and Gemini energy. Because again, if Mars and Gemini wants to focus on the details, if Mars and Gemini wants to focus on the time, place, cost, hour, minute, second, the Wheel of Fortune zooms out, can zoom us out from microscope to bird's eye view. And the Wheel of Fortune reminds us that the shift is coming, right? Inevitably. That is how the metaphysical parameters of the universe are. You know, like, the universe is set up in a cyclical manner. And there is no stopping in a cycle. There is no real, like, there's not actually a sense of, like, stuckness or stagnation or stopping. The human experience can feel like that, for sure, and definitely validating. I mean, I feel all of those things, so definitely validating if those are some of the things you've been feeling as well. But in the grand scheme, the bird's eye view of how the universe is moving and spinning, it's a circle, right? And can we just trust even in the sacred geometry of a circle, which tells us that things continually change, things always continually grow. sometimes I get afraid that I'll be kind of stuck in this place forever, but I know spiritually that would be impossible, right? And that's maybe a piece of medicine that we can take away from this weather of yesterday's new moon. This week, we're still getting in touch with Mars and Gemini. There's just something here about remembering that it's literally impossible for you to continue to stay in the same place forever. And that can be medicine when we're going through a hard time. And that can be like a spiritual practice when we're going through a really good time, right? It's like this practice of just acknowledging what the sacred geometry of a circle really teaches us. Yeah. So I don't know, my friends, if you're feeling it lately, you're not alone. I'm definitely feeling it. I don't think I'm completely at my most regulated state at the moment, but you know, we can try. You know, all we can do is try our best throughout these moments of kind of confusion and these moments of change. But let's ask the cards for a few more points of guidance that kind of are hanging out underneath the Wheel of Fortune. We'll ask for some clarity about how we can further embrace that Wheel of Fortune, further embrace this idea of trust this week as we go into this week. Okay. Oh, this is good. This is good. Four of Cups in reverse. Four of Cups in reverse, man. Well, let's just look at Four of Cups upright. What am I saying, guys? This idea of, you know, we're looking at the present moment. Is this dude really that trusting? Nah, no. I think they are a little bit dissatisfied with what they have in front of them. Right? And although they're dissatisfied and maybe feeling like what they have in front of them is not enough, they're kind of in this state of hyperfixation, even emotionally. This emotional state of you know, whatever our cups are filled with in the present moment, just not being too happy about that, right? That's kind of a Four of Cups-y kind of thing. And it's hard in the Four of Cups to remain in that discomfort. Oftentimes we want to emotionally react. We want to just spill these cups over and quit, right? But what is behind him, right? What is behind him? It's that other cup, right? It's the next step. It's the gift. It's the wheel that inevitably turns, right? There's just something in that cup that is soon going to come to him. So how can we make our lives less filled with suffering, you know, while still believing that this cup is coming? Like, it might not be here yet, right? But how do we kind of cope with this moment while we're in this Four of Cups? All right, let me see here. Okay, Ten of Wands. Ten of Wands, my friends. Ten of Wands. Yeah, I think that when we're in the Four of Cups, when we're having trouble trusting, sometimes we may pile on different aspects of the material world in order to make us feel more secure. Like, classic, I'm having a hard time, I don't know what's next, so I am just going to work myself to the bone. You know, I'm going to say yes to everything, or I'm going to, you know, take on all of this stuff as a means of distraction. It could be unconscious distraction, it could be conscious distraction. But also I kind of get the feeling that there's that, but in some intuitive way, I feel like this person is also clearing the way for something new. Like, they have all this heavy stuff, and sometimes the, like, last day of hiking or the last moment of, you know, right before you get to the top of the mountain is absolutely the hardest, right? I think right when we get to the very almost top of the mountain, that's when we feel like we're carrying the heaviest load, right? And then one step later, relief comes, right? Like, one step later, the new path reveals itself, right? So that's something that kind of is reminding, that's coming to me with the Ten of Wands showing up here too. Yeah, I think just acknowledging that a lot of us are carrying a lot right now, and can we trust that whatever load we are carrying, there's relief coming, or that relief, we're heading towards relief in some way. Sam, you said like falling down a doom scroll of your life. Yes. Totally. I'm trying to think of a moment when I was not trusting or like not like where I was like really overwhelmed with life and like how the universe ended up like handing me the next thing unexpectedly. I'm sure there's been many moments with that. For me, I'm thinking back to when I got my first tarot deck. That was in 2018. And it was right after kind of a weird breakup situation. And I ended up going on a trip by myself after that, and I ended up running into a tarot deck in a bookstore, and I wasn't expecting that to be the thing, right? Like, I wasn't expecting that to be the like portal through that moment, but it was. And now that I think about it, that kind of is a good Four of Cups moment. There's something like the solution is unexpected. And can you believe that the solution is also trying to find you as much as you are trying to find it, right? Sometimes that idea, like that there's my home, my apartment, my roommate, whatever it is, like is trying to find me and I'm trying to find them, like that could apply to anything. And oftentimes we carry this weight, like the Ten of Wands. I gotta do it all myself. No, you don't. The universe is always 50-50 with you. Probably even more, right? We're probably actually only doing 30% of the work with our free will. You know, maybe the universe is like 70% of why things actually happen, but in our perception, we're doing all of it. But you know what I mean? Like, the universe has its hand out to us, and it's trying to, you know, say, hello, you know, I'm trying to help you, right? And we need to trust in that, right? Jelly Bean, you said, this also feels like the overwhelming feeling of, I don't know what is next in my life, so I need to do everything right now so I don't miss my boat. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, that, and that's really what comes up in the moments of, like, the deepest distrust for me. It's those moments when I'm like, I really don't know what's next. I'm trying not to think about, you know, all the societal conditioning of, like, what I'm supposed to be doing at my age or what I'm supposed to have at this time or, you know, and it, we get so easily caught up in that shit. And it's hard. It's hard to, like, not Ten of Wands in those moments where we just get overwhelmed by even things we don't even want to do, right? Things that society makes us feel like we need to do, but in reality, we don't have to. And yeah, I'm now kind of realizing too, in my week ahead spread, the Hierophant came out, and I was like, oh, I wonder why that's there. But the Hierophant, you know, if you're a tarot reader, you know the Hierophant has a lot to do with our societal conditioning and, you know, what we've been conditioned to believe or about ourselves or about what is success, etc., etc. So there could be some Hierophant moments for some of us too this week, okay? I'm gonna do one more card. Any other medicine that can help us tune into the Wheel of Fortune this week as we attempt to trust? Uh-oh. Just kidding. Nine of Swords in reverse. Okay. This makes so much sense, though. Doesn't this make sense? Like, just look at these cards. Okay. Yep, what is underneath this lesson of trust? Four of Cups, Ten of Wands, Nine of Swords in reverse. Isn't that, I mean, some of you might be listening to this on the replay of the podcast, but for those of you who are looking at this right now on my Instagram Live, like, this is just a piece of art, really, about the difference between trust and mistrust, the difference between, you know, worrying about the future and trusting that the universe and our higher self know exactly where we're going, right? For me, the Nine of Swords is just being, continuing to be mindful of the very basic primal self-care needs. Eating nourishing meals, drinking water, taking medication if you take medication, going for some walks, you know, getting as much sleep as you can, moving the body in a nourishing way, doing the most to even make the attempt to just remain in the body. The Nine of Swords oftentimes says we are in disassociation land. And when we are disassociated, I think that can rev up the anxiety even more, right? There's a difference between someone who is well-fed, well-hydrated, you know, has spent some time outside. Even if you're still having a bad day, you know, that's okay, but there's a difference between that kind of scenario and just completely, I guess, sinking into the anxiety narrative, which can be Nine of Swordsy, right? So with the Nine of Swords here, it's nothing to really worry about. It's just almost being very on top of the anxiety, the anxiety mitigation.
Even if it sometimes doesn't feel like it's completely working. Even if it just feels like, oh, I'm still having a shitty day. Still eat the breakfast. You know, still do the 5 minutes of stretching. Really making an active effort to remain in the body. Right? And Cher, you said, I'm 29. I'm like, wait, why haven't I done this or been able to purchase this? Society makes you feel so behind in life. Ugh, I know. Cher, I am on the same page. Like, yeah, I'm on the same page for sure, 100%. And I'm trying to remember, too, that I tell people all the time, and I believe it so deeply when I tell people this, where I'm like, you're never too young or too old to change a course of your life or do something or make something happen. Like, age has nothing to do with, like, manifestation ability or... I mean, I guess when you're a little, very little kid, sure, but, like, age, or maybe it's not even manifestation ability, like, age has very little to do with your ability or capability to do something that you want, right? Yet, for me, it's very hard to not judge myself, you know, for all of that. So I get it, Cher. Maybe it's the Mars in our 12th house right now, I think. Ams, you said it's very easy to get caught up in what it is we are supposed to be doing, letting the tower fall hard. Yeah. It's funny, I was thinking about recording a podcast about the tower this week. So yeah, no promises. You guys know I've been slacking pretty hard on my podcast game in the last year because I just, I don't know, don't feel very inspired most of the time, but I was feeling a little inspired to do a tower card situation. So anyways, my friends, I think that's the message for this week. I do have some openings in my books this week if you are feeling like you want a little check-in. Highly sensitive person harvest is coming this fall. I'm really excited. So if you identify as a highly sensitive person and have been looking for like a group container that's kind of about growing together and processing together, I'm pretty excited for that to come along. I'll be launching that really soon. Inner child healing through the tarot self-paced course is available on my site. I hear it's a pretty good class. And that's my stuff for this week, my friends. Pam, you said, all this resonates. Fortunately, it's a new moon, and we can set intentions. Something proactive we can do consciously, partnering with the universe. Yeah, yeah. I love that, Pam. Yeah, like maybe that's another way a good way of looking at the Wheel of Fortune. Like, how can I become a better partner to the universe? Even, like, how do I project my insecure attachment onto the universe? Like, sometimes I'm like, wow, I don't have very good secure attachment with the universe sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like, wow, the universe is just going to get up and leave me and abandon me, right? And it's like, no, that's not really what's happening, right? But I think that, that security in partnering with the universe. The universe is likely the most secure partner you'll ever have. And Elizabeth, you said, I've been having so many conversations about this feeling late for life and when we need to keep living out loud about all the alternative ways to live. Yeah. You know, and I gotta say, especially in this fucking economy, like, no one, you know, no one should feel ashamed for where they're at in life, you know, with You know, all of the societal setbacks and it's just, yeah, you definitely spoke to something there, Elizabeth. And Celeste, you said, I did the inner child healing through the tarot class and I can't recommend it enough. Oh, well, thanks, Celeste. I really appreciate you saying that. All right, friends, what do we got? Do we need a card pulled? Do we need a prayer? Actually, I'll ask for a prayer from you all, if that's okay to start off. Will you send me good roommate / apartment vibes, just being in full agreement that, you know, I run into the right person or the right situation? That would be really, really helpful. Send me those vibes, being in agreement of that would be awesome. And hey, Jess, you said, can I have a card for this next week at work? Yeah, let's see here. Ah, thanks, guys. I see the hearts. Oh, thanks for sending that. All right, Jess, you got the King of Swords. So I think there's something that this week at work that's going to require you to tap into your own inner authority and possibly like delegating a task or even speaking up about something that might feel a little bit unfair or unreasonable, but you're speaking up about it from a sense of authority. Like, you're not, it doesn't feel like it's coming from a place of emotion. It doesn't feel like it's coming from a place of like being really super upset, even if that's kind of how you're feeling. It feels like it comes through really calm. Like, you're holding yourself really calmly. You're centered in your own authority and you're remembering your power in the situation. And it feels to me too that like remembering that you do have leadership powers or leadership potential in this situation at work. And maybe there is no drama, maybe there is nothing to say, but regardless, there's like an energy that wants to be embraced by you when it comes to like your capabilities at work. Okay. Lauren, you said, I would love an anchor card for trusting in divine timing. Yeah. Ooh, okay, the World. Ooh, okay. And you know, Lauren, you know what comes after the World. We know the Fool comes after the World. So I think when we get the World, it's very much a liminal space of really, you know, the identity, the old identity that we're letting go of and the new version of ourselves that is now ready to be revealed to the world. And I think the fact that you got the World, part of trusting in divine timing is continuing to reveal this new sense of yourself, like, to the world, like continuing to introduce yourself to the world. And that doesn't have to be like you making a big like Facebook post or something like that. It could literally be you walking outside and being like, nice to meet you, universe. Like, I'm Lauren. Like, this is like a new version of me that is emerging. So for some reason that feels really linked to the divine timing of a lot of things that are going on. Ellis, you said, could I have a card for processing a shift from a more romantic relationship to the relationship becoming more platonic? Yeah, let's see. Okay, the Fool in reverse. Okay. Yeah, it's funny, Ellis, because I think that this definitely relates to the trust message here. But I wonder if, you know, shifting from the romance into the platonic, You know, I'm wondering if there's a little bit of like a s unconscious mindset of limitation, or if there's an unconscious mindset of lack of different partners or lack of other people that you could potentially vibe with really, really well. I'm getting this really big message that there are still like many different partners that you will run into in this lifetime that will, teach you a lot and make you or really shift your perspective a lot and help you grow as a person. So I think overall it's like expanding beyond the possibilities with what you think was possible with this romantic connection, and seeing that in shifting to more of a platonic relationship with this person, it actually expands what is possible for you, and it expands not only the amount of people that you will meet, but it's also expanding just like who you are in general, because it's releasing you and it's allowing you more freedom, which can be scary, right? It can be scary because the fool in reverse is kind of like, oh, I'm kind of afraid of, this shift, or I don't quite feel ready for this shift. I feel like someone just pushed me into the deep end of the pool and told me to swim. That might be a little bit of what the universe is doing right now, but it feels expansive over time. Okay. Katie. Hey, Katie. You said, I would love a card for guidance this week. Miss you, Mal. Oh, I miss you too, Katie. Let's see here. Ooh, Queen of Swords. Okay. I think there's a lot of, self boundaries, where you draw the line and maybe staying true to that. I was just watching this TikTok, and this may or may not apply to your situation, Katie, but regardless, I think you can apply it to your situation. And granted, it's an example that has to do with like a dating thing, but this Queen of Swords could totally be applying for you for work. I don't know. But this girl is just talking about how she had like met someone on Hinge or like a dating app, and they had plans to like get drinks at 7:30. That was what she said. She's like, yeah, so it's like 7:15, like I'm getting, starting to leave my house, like heading to where we're meeting. And then the person hits her with like, hey, I'm about to go for a run, but I'll keep you updated after. And she was just like, no, like we plan to meet at 7:30. Like I'm not going to wait around for you to, waste my time, or like I'm not waiting around for you with that. Like respect my time. It's 7:30, right? So there's something about this Queen of Swords that has that tone for me. Like it's more like what knowing what you are willing to do and what is in your integrity and what crosses the line into bending over backwards for someone else, and just kind of trusting that whether that's your boss or at work, or maybe it is with someone more romantic or a friend, like you're really keeping true to yourself. You're standing in your integrity when it comes to like, like this is my boundary, and I'm respecting that. So very Queen of Swords there. All right, Pam, you said, as always, would love a card for the week. I'm sending good vibes to you. Thanks, Pam. Okay. Magician. Okay, Pam. So, with the magician here, Well, the first thing that comes to mind, Pam, is that the Magician is the card in the tarot that is ruled by Mercury. And Mercury is in its shadow retrograde period right now. Will station retrograde soon. Is that this week? Shit. Should have probably talked about that. But if it is this week, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it next time. But I think there's something here about maybe using this Mercury retrograde to your advantage. And remembering that this can be a time of kind of going inwards and rebooting, regenerating, even reorganizing. For some reason, I'm getting like this really strong vision of you like reorganizing papers. I'm not sure if that's like for your literal writing projects or for work or something else. But there's just something here that's coming through as like, you can't completely move forward until things feel like reorganized and at peace, both inside and outside of you. So it's not to say you can't move forward, but it's like finding a balance between like cleaning out the closet of like old shit that you don't want, you know, metaphorically and literally, and you know, stepping into the new frequency. Like, can there be a balance? That's not usually the message I get with the Magician, but there was just a really strong correlation with Mercury retrograde that came through with that card. Thanks, guys. Allie, you said sending good housing vibes. Katie, you said sending you the best vibes. Sam, you said I will definitely be sending you good thoughts and prayers. Aw, thanks, guys. Quinn, you said everybody pray that I make bank at this festival. I'm vending next weekend, Virgo season. Oh, Quinn, I'm in full agreement. Full agreement. All of the abundance flows to you. And Elizabeth, you said, I love a card for the group container we're opening next week. Yes. Let's see. Ooh, okay. So, Elizabeth, you got the Devil. Now, I think this is actually really kind of cool card. I know when I do group containers, it is like a, it's a very devil kind of vibe in the sense that it's a safe place where people can kind of face maybe fears or face subconscious setbacks or kind of peel back those unconscious layers of conditioning that create shame, really. And I don't know, maybe the group container that you're doing, Elizabeth, it might have to do with like deconditioning from what society has taught us and kind of letting go of guilt and shame and really stepping into what is best for us. But there's a lot of like really juicy shadow work that I think is going to happen in this container. So I'm excited for you and I'm wishing you the best of luck as a facilitator. Okay. And Elizabeth, you said, I'm cleaning my closet right now. Oh gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, it's the Virgo new moon, right? We gotta clean everything out. Okay, friends, I think that is about it for today. But thank you for coming along on the ride for me today. And let me know how your Wheel of Fortune moments kind of come about this week. And yeah, soon I'll be launching the Highly Sensitive Person container for this fall. I'm super excited. If you're a highly sensitive person or think you might be a highly sensitive person, keep an eye out for that. And I'm trying to think of like a fun way to launch the fall container. I was thinking about doing like one video a day for like 5 days on YouTube or something that have to do with like highly sensitive person stuff. So if there is, like, anything that, like, ideas or video requests that you want to send my way, I would be 100% open to that. I think I'm going to do, like, a general video about, like, my highly sensitive person journey, but then I might go into some other, just some other topics that highly sensitive people may want to bring up for me, that want to talk, for me to talk about it. So that is cooking behind the scenes. So send me your ideas if you have them. Ellis, you said, thank you, Mal. We are in full agreement that your housing situation resolves quickly and fruitfully. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. Yeah, if you are in Chicago, if you are in Chicago and know someone who needs a roommate this fall, send them my way, okay? Kidding, not kidding. Thank you, my friends. Lots of love to you, and we will talk again soon.